This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dave Norris is a member of the Charlottesville City Council and a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, and he joins us live in studio. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
Well, Coy, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here again.
I really appreciate it. And we have so much to get to, so let's not, I don't want to waste any of your time. We got a lot we want to get to here in just a few minutes. But let's start with some breaking news here that you'll announce for the first time publicly.
For the first time here in Charlottesville right now.
Well, thank you so much.
You know, and it might be a year from now, I might want one of those time machines to come back and undo what I'm about to announce. But, you know, we have a new city council coming on board as of January 1, and that means the city will be choosing a new mayor as of January 7th, actually, our first city council meeting. It's something that I've been thinking about for the last number of months and decided to throw my hat in the ring, and it's become clear in the last week that I do have not only a majority support, but it looks like will be unanimous support to be the next mayor of Charlottesville.
Well, so congratulations.
It's a daunting task, and I'm excited, and I'm also nervous, but I'm looking forward to the opportunity, and I'm hoping that Julian Taliaferro will be the vice mayor, and that we can both move forward and address some of these other issues that we ran on and when we ran for office 2 years ago, and move the city forward. So I'm excited.
Dave Norris, member of Charlottesville City Council, announcing here for the first time that he does believe that it looks like he has the votes and will be the new mayor of Charlottesville when they return for their first meeting January 7th,
January 7th is the first Monday. I believe that's the first Monday in January.
So. Well, that's very exciting. Congratulations, Dave. That really is exciting. We're really happy for you.
I owe it all to Sorensen Institute. Right?
There you go. Of course you do. So let's get to some of these issues. We've been talking about this quite a bit on this program. And of course, Tim Longo is in, Courtney Stewart for The Hook, who's been breaking this news and covering this story. We have two recent incidences here in Charlottesville of folks in wheelchairs and crosswalks getting hit, one of whom got hit by a county police officer. And yet the drivers of the cars that hit these people weren't ticketed. The people in the wheelchairs that got hurt and hit and run over, they were ticketed. Pretty egregious in my mind. It's an amazing story. We truly appreciate Tim Longo, the chief of Charlottesville Police, coming in the other day and being very candid and upfront and saying, I'm bothered by this too, but I really can't second guess my guys in the field. They're trained. They're very good at what they do. I have to believe in that they made the right decision. But he did say, look, we're reviewing it. And we have a lot of eyes on this, and we're very concerned about public opinion and safety, and this is important to us.
Sure, and it still is under review, and I hope there is a resolution here in the very near future, because it is an unfortunate situation. And I tend to agree with those who say, you know, either ticket everybody involved or don't ticket anybody, you know, and if the lesson in this case is that the goal was to teach them a lesson by giving them a ticket. Well, I think just getting hit by a car is a pretty big lesson,
right.
Lesson learned right there. So I do hope there's a resolution soon, but to me, it goes to the much bigger issue of pedestrian safety in Charlottesville and what can we do to make sure not just people in wheelchairs, but pedestrians generally and bicyclists. How do we make sure that our roads are safe and our byways and our sidewalks and trails are safe for people who are choosing to get out of their cars or need or don't have a car? So, I think there's a lot of discussion that needs to happen around that theme. And, you know, Kevin Cox and others have been urging us, rightfully so, to take a hard look at this. So,
yeah. And probably the most disturbing thing to me is that the woman, the cerebral palsy victim who's in a wheelchair right in front of the hospital is hit by a dump truck.
Yeah,
of all the crosswalks in the city, you think would be the safest
right. For
folks in wheelchairs, it would be the one in front of a hospital.
In front of the hospital. There's a lot of people in wheelchairs, a lot of seniors. It's a dangerous intersection, and you know, it's one of many that we're going to have to look at. You know, there's no way around this. So.
We're talking with Dave Norris, a member of Charlottesville City Council, and soon to be, we hear, the mayor of Charlottesville come January. Dave, what's all this news about the rescue squad? And it looks like Charlottesville has finally signed on to the idea of investing in a full-time professional rescue squad.
Yeah, and there's been a little bit of misinformation out there. We had a proposal that came up during the last budget cycle, and that proposal has been reworked substantially since then, and it got to a point where I was willing to support it, but it's not the proposal that you've been reading about in the editorials in the progress. Basically, the issue here is how do you supplement a volunteer rescue service that is, by its own admission, overstretched? I mean, we have one of the best and one of the busiest volunteer rescue systems in the country. CARS does an excellent job. A number of years ago, Albemarle County decided that for the safety of citizens in their in the urban ring of the county, they were going to supplement CARS with some paid staff. And so the city has sort of come to the same point now where we're wanting to supplement CARS with some city paid staff. And then the question becomes, what's the best way to do that? This is not an effort to try to undermine CARS or try to move CARS out of the, you know, move CARS out of the business of providing a rescue service to the community. They do a wonderful job, but they are overstretched. And there are times of the day, this study that was just done showed that there are times of the day when there's just not enough ambulances out on the street in order to meet the community's needs, given the rising number of calls for service. So there's a lot of discussion about the details about how do you implement a supplemental service. The county went one direction where they actually had county paid staff operating out of the CARS facility. So one of the questions for us is why don't we just have city paid staff operating out of the CARS facility? And but the challenge here is that the part of the city that's where we're getting the biggest problems with response times is in the southwest quadrant of the city, which is pretty far from the CARS station on McIntyre. So down on Fontaine Avenue, University, Jefferson Park Avenue, that area of the city. The reason I was willing to support the latest iteration of this proposal was the whole, it's premised on the fact that premised on the idea that this supplemental service will be provided in the southwest part of the city, so we'll be able to geographically reach the entire breadth of the city. We're also, the other thing that hasn't really been reported is that we are also offering support to CARS in the form of technology improvements so that their ambulances will have onboard technology, be able to get to the scenes faster and more more efficiently.
And that's a first, right? I don't think the city has ever offered to.
Well, we've participated before in system-wide improvements. This is another system-wide improvement that will include direct support to CARS. And then the other issue is, above and beyond that, what other kinds of support can we provide to CARS to help them, for instance, with fundraising, to help them with other kinds of operational support? There's a lot of frustration out there on the part of CARS and people who support CARS, who rightfully feel that CARS is a wonderful model program and that don't feel like the city has given us enough support to CARS over the years. I want to step up and say, ask the question, what more can we be doing to support CARS? CARS is a volunteer-based program, so they do have limits, and many of their volunteers are UVA students. They do great work, but their resources are just overstretched right now. And I think if we can work in partnership, and this is the other thing that hasn't really been reported is the fact that the latest, other than the fact that they didn't like some of the details of this proposal, what we're hearing from CARS leadership is, let's move forward now in a spirit of partnership. Let's work to improve the system for the betterment of the community. And I think it's incumbent upon us on council and in the fire department and CARS and UVA and Albemarle County all work together now and create a better system for the benefit of our citizens. So.
My guest is Dave Norris, a member of Charlottesville City Council, and announced here just a few minutes ago that it looks like he will be the mayor of Charlottesville come January. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Invite you to join this conversation about any of the topics that we're discussing here. Robbie has been waiting very patiently on line one. Robbie, you're on with Dave Norris. No, you're not. We lost Robbie. I'm sorry about that. Dave, let me ask you, the cameras on the malls, your thoughts on that, because that continues to be a major topic. Tim Longo is asking for $300,000 in money to invest in cameras on the mall. And I will tell you, before you answer that, I will tell you, a few weeks ago, I was at I was at a mall in Norfolk, Virginia.
Right.
Beautiful mall down in Norfolk. And I went to the I lost my wallet. I ended up finding it, but I lost my wallet briefly, and I went to the little place where you go, the security place. Mm-hmm. And a woman in there said, well, let me call Joe or whoever down at the help desk on the other side of the mall and see if somebody turned it in down there. And she says, oh, Joe's on the phone. She's looking at this huge bank of screens there with all the
right.
cameras all over the mall.
Right.
And she gets her, let me see if it's on the counter in front of her. She gets this little joystick and zooms in, and I swear I could read the time on the watch on this man's hand standing in the mall.
Right.
The cameras were that unbelievable.
Sure.
And this is what is being proposed to come to Charlottesville's downtown mall, security cameras.
Well, let me correct that slightly, in that we city council has said we are not interested in having a permanent fixed police operated surveillance system on the downtown mall. And the proposal, and this is not out of any kind of disrespect for our police chief. We all think the world of our police chief and his officers. And but what we have given the green light to is a modified proposal that would basically expand an existing program that we have now, that where we can install cameras on a temporary basis in areas of the city that are experiencing a lot of criminal activity in order to identify perpetrators. So it's not a surveillance system. It's more using cameras as a investigative and forensics tool. I am not interested in becoming part of an effort to blanket the city of Charlottesville with surveillance cameras. And I can guarantee you, if we had agreed to the idea of a public surveillance system on the downtown mall, who's to say that we couldn't then turn around and deny that same system to the next neighborhood or the next neighborhood? And I think it was...
What if the North Downtown Neighborhood Association comes to you and says, hey, we want cameras on our streets?
Right. And the reality is, Coy, is that... there's no clear evidence that cameras deter crime,
in fact, the evidence is just the opposite.
Right.
You know, they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
So it gives a semblance of security without actually delivering security.
Right.
And I think what I would like to invest our public dollars is things that actually improve security. Things like better lighting, things like a better and more policing where possible, things like, you know, violence prevention initiatives. So I think there are ways to do that, and but I haven't said I have a blanket no camera policy. I just want to see the cameras used the way that they work well, which is in identifying perpetrators and as forensics tools. So.
I've often thought the folks who say, well, you know, those cameras, they'll help deter crime. The first thing I think of is every time there's a bank robbery, they have a photo of the guy standing at the counter. And I think it doesn't deter him. It doesn't deter all these pictures we see in video we see of these stupid crooks in
right.
convenience stores.
Right, right, right.
They know there's cameras there.
Right.
It doesn't deter crime.
It doesn't. And the reality is, if the downtown merchants want to install a camera system, they could do it tomorrow. But, you know, we're not interested in having a public surveillance system on the downtown mall.
We're talking with Dave Norris of Charlottesville City Council, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Howard, been waiting very patiently on line one. Howard, you're on with Dave Norris. You go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mr. Norris, I have a question for you. You mentioned that the volunteer rescue squad, their resources were overstressed, I think is the way you put it. And there's another group in Charlottesville whose resources are overstressed, and I would say that it's the taxpayers. And so I get concerned when I hear a couple months ago Councillor Taliaferro talking about people being unhappy with garbage disposal, the garbage collection in Charlottesville, saying that if you want to get it in right, the government has to do it. And then, you know, talking about this money for a paid rescue squad and now the cameras and... It just doesn't feel sustainable to me. I know that's a big word in Charlottesville, but where is this going to come? Where is all this money going to come from? How is it going to be sustainable?
These are good questions. And just to clarify, the council did not agree to go back to a publicly run garbage collection service. And as I just said, we did not agree.
They didn't agree to do that, but I'm saying that was
okay.
Mr. Taliaferro's point of view was, if it's going to be done right, it has to be run by the government.
Right. And, that's a good question. I actually disagree that, government is the answer to every problem. And I think this is going to come up in a minute when we talk about the YMCA and recreational.
Which we need to do soon, but
right.
Go ahead.
I think we have to act more entrepreneurially. We have to look at how do we leverage the resources of the private sector and resources in the county, how to do things smarter. I'm not a libertarian. I don't believe that, the government has no role in some of these basic services. But I do believe, I think this caller is right on that the taxpayers are overstretched as well, and we have to be mindful of that.
So. Howard, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to line two. Barbara, waiting patiently. Barbara, you're on with Dave Norris. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I just also wanted to call and say that, in my opinion, City Council acts like it has a blank check, and it just spends and spends and spends and is not truly respectful of where the money comes from. And I think that the ambulance program is one example. You said Cars doesn't have enough ambulances on the road. They own 8 ambulances. What they might be short of are drivers. And the city has taken on $1 million new program and I think about 8 new staff, and they're going to have health insurance and retirement benefits and all of that stuff. And I just don't think that that was the most cost-effective way to address solving the problems on the southwest side of the city in terms of response times. And then the whole thing with the pools, I thought, A, if we decided to revamp the Smith Pool and sort of build that up, then we wouldn't do the YMCA, but instead we're spending for two different pool programs. And I just don't think that that's fair to the taxpayers. And I also think it's horrible that y'all are planning to take away the parkland in McIntyre Park and put a building there.
Barbara, thank you so much for the call. I want to give Dave a chance to respond before we have to go to a break.
Well, real quick, just people are throwing around this dollar figure of $1 million to add a new ambulance service. That's based on a proposal that came up about a year ago. The one that we looked at this Monday night is significantly less than that. And it was based on a proposal that was compared to a proposal that UVA came up with when we said, what are the other alternatives for providing service in the Southwest, particularly in the Southwest part of the city? UVA said, well, we could do it for, you know, a little bit under $500,000. We asked our fire chief to look and see if he could pare down his proposal and be competitive. He did. We came up with a proposal that's going to be significantly less than $1 million. And again, you didn't see that in the editorial and the paper. It was in the reporting. We'll get to the pools in a second.
Yeah, perhaps we should have you back on to talk about the pools because we are up against the clock. We've been talking with City Councilor Dave Norris, and join us again if you can before you have your first meeting in January.
I'd love to.
That'd be great. Yeah, we'll set that up. Dave Norris, a member of Charlottesville City Council, and we hear for the first time here on this program tonight, soon to be likely the mayor of Charlottesville come January. Dave, have a wonderful Christmas and a good new year.
You do the same, Coy.
We'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.